Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is a common trait of all the major figures in government, the movers and shakers, the elite, figures of Hollywood, bankers, and especially the nameless ones behind the geopolitical scene? Wealth. In ancient times, very, very few were wealthy. Aside from rulers and kings, very few commoners actually attained wealth. In the days of ancient Israel, a commoner that was wealthy was someone who was blessed by God. Today, however, the ultra-wealthy have attained their wealth either through selling their souls to a person or a corporation, or most commonly, devious means that usually bring great harm to many other people. If you want to know who the wicked of the world are in these modern times, start by looking for those who are ultra wealthy. Why do I say that? It's because the ultra wealthy are responsible, directly involved in one of the major evils in the world today, violence. So wealth leads to violence in two ways. First, wealth can distract people from God, and they forget that God is behind all on this earth, that he is behind setting up of rulers and kings. He is behind the resources that we have. He is behind all that we have because he owns all. Those who have attained wealth without God in their lives are headed down a dangerous path. Let's look at Psalm 73, beginning in verse 3. I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, and their strength is firm. They are not in trouble like other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride is as a chain about their neck. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish for. And yet they scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. They set their mouth against the heavens. They are denying God. They are speaking even against God. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue, this is an implication of evil speaking, walks through the earth. Therefore, waters of abundance are drunk by them. They are engorged with wealth, and they speak evil of God. Verse 11, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They are questioning God, whether he knows of their evil deeds, whether he knows of their wicked ways. And they are denying that he can know of all the evil that they do. Verse 12, behold, these are the wicked who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So the ultra-wealthy of this world, this is about them. And it is certainly talking about how they deny God, both in existence and in their own lives. Now, the second means of attaining wealth is through illicit or illegal means. Let's look at Amos 5, verse 11. Therefore, because of your trampling upon the poor, And because you take tribute of grain from him, this is speaking of dealing treacherously with the poor and taking tribute beyond their means to give so that they can maintain their wealth. It continues, though you have built houses of carved stone, these are expensive houses, you shall not dwell in them. Though you have planted desirable vineyards, you shall not drink from them. In other words, all their wealth will come to an end. For I know your many transgressions and your many sins. They, that is the wealthy, afflict the just. They take a bribe and they turn aside the poor in the gate. This is talking about the ultra-wealthy withhold justice from the poor and from the just. But behind all of this is Satan. Did you know that Satan actually rewards those who do evil with great wealth? Let's read in Ezekiel, verse 16. By the multitude, that is the abundance of your, that's Satan's merchandising, they have filled your midst with violence, and you have sinned. They are the wicked people that are doing evil for Satan, and they have filled this earth with violence. Verse 18, by the multitude of your iniquities, by Satan's iniquities, by the unrighteousness of Satan's trade, this is the same word as merchandise in verse 16. This is a way of gaining wealth. You, Satan, have profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I brought a fire from your midst that will devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth before the eyes of all who see you. So here it is. The ultra-wealthy have been given that wealth by Satan because they do violence. They promote it, they fund it, they desire it, they order it, and they plan it in order to keep that wealth. So in the United States, we have some examples of how wealth is funding violence. Antifa and BLM, two of the most violent radical groups that are publicly known, have done nothing but violence. They have burned stores and torn down shops. They've even cordoned off neighborhoods so that they can continue to do their illegal and illicit drug dealings. And they are funded, directly funded, by some of the ultra-wealthy. Violence is also not just a physical act. By definition, it means unpleasant forces, and it means intimidation by force. How does this occur? Think about the corrupt judges that are bribed to look the other way or bribed to let somebody go who is a known criminal. This violence that is funded by wealth permeates our entire society today. And sadly enough, most wealth is made on the backs of poor. Look at Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 13 says, you who live on or gain wealth on many waters, the people, rich in treasures, your end has come and the measure of your covetousness. In the end, they will not have their wealth. They will not have all the things that it has bought them. It will not bring them power or authority or the means to continue promoting violence. Let's read a number of scriptures that warn the ultra-wealthy who have been the servants of Satan for so long about their end. And let's begin in Job. Job chapter 21, verse 13. They spend their days in prosperity, and peacefully go down to the grave, and they say to God Most High, Depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray to him? Verse 30. Do you not know that the evil man is preserved for the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. This is about as strong and plain a message as God ever delivers. And when he talks like this, men and women should tremble. Let's look at James. James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich men, weep. Howl over the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have been eaten away, and their corrosion will be a testimony against you, and will consume your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth for the last days. Listen, the wages of the workmen who harvested your fields, which have been withheld by you, are crying out to God, and the cries of those who reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived in luxury upon the earth, and you have lived in self-gratification. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and you have killed the righteous, and he does not resist you. This is just the early warnings from God against those who would gain wealth the way most of the ultra-wealthy have. But there is an end, and the warning in the last book of the Bible is even more severe. Let's look in Revelation. Revelation 18, verse 2, And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, prison of every unclean and hated bird. Because all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury, this is passion, this is wrath, this is the greatest emotional response that God can have. All nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Here it is. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her, that is Babylon's luxury. Wealth promotes a haughty and prideful attitude, and these are things that are not going to get them into the kingdom. In fact, it is a distraction. Wealth is a distraction. Look at Matthew 19, verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, it is extremely difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's also notice Matthew 13, verse 22. This is speaking about the parable of the sower. And the one who was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Let's look at another one in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. For those who desire to become rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts which cause men to sink into destruction and perdition. As we read earlier, the saints, the just people, do not resist this kind of violence. In fact, they have no power against it. So what do we do? 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, And he said, The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The God who is my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. You, O God, have saved me from violence. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I shall be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death encircled me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of the grave hemmed me in. The snares of death went in front of me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered into his ears. God will hear our cries. He will be our rock, our fortress. He will be faithful. Let's look also at Psalms chapter 72, verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy when he cries, and the poor with the one who has no helper. This is a promise from God to look after us, to help us in our time of need. We are powerless against those who are ultra wealthy, those who are ultra powerful, those who do violence. It says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. God has said, do not worry about these things, but seek you first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. This is what he will add to you. In addition to the needs of this life, he will add his protection and his safety. He will keep you. He shall have compassion upon the weak and needy, and shall save the lives of the needy. He shall redeem their life from oppression and violence, and their blood shall be precious in his sight. We do not look for true life here upon this earth. We look for true life coming from God, a physical life that always ends in physical death. Is not life. That is but a temporary existence. That is but a place where we are powerless, a place that we strive to seek God because we want to attain unto that true life that is eternal and spirit in his kingdom. So let's look and see what godly wealth is. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 says, remove far from me the vanity and a lying word. But also, give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me my portion of bread, lest I be full and deny you because of much wealth, that is, and say, who is the Lord? Didn't we just read earlier that those who are ultra wealthy question the existence of God, question his involvement in their lives? Wealth distracts from the true riches that are in heaven, not on earth. Let's also look at Luke 12, beginning in verse 21. So shall it be to the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. How do you be rich toward God? Well, laying up treasure for yourself is easy, right? That's what we just read. The wealthy hoard their wealth. But what is being rich toward God? And he, Jesus, said to his disciples, because of this, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Let's skip down to verse 28. But if God so adorns the grass today that is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into an oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O you of little faith? If we are concerned and anxious about this life right now in this world, in this physical body, we need to consider whether we truly have faith. Pray that God will give you faith if you are lacking in it. He will give it to you. Verse 29, then do not be seeking what you shall eat or what you shall drink, and do not be anxious. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. He created us. How can he not know that we need clothes or food or shelter? How can he not know as the Creator? He made us to have to eat, to have to drink, to have to sleep. He knows better than we what we need each and every day. But here it is in verse 31. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom first. We are to lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to treasure. If we want true treasure, seek the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is compared to treasure hidden in a field, which, when a man finds, he conceals, and for the joy of finding it, goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, after finding one very precious pearl, went and sold everything that he had and bought it. True treasure is not upon the earth. It is above. True treasure is with God. That treasure lasts an eternity. Let's look at Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask of God, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Seek means to inquire or investigate, look into. And it's not talking about seeking something that was lost. It's talking about seeking something that can be found. And it is right before us if we will but seek it, look for it. And what is it that we are seeking? Knock, and it shall be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it shall be opened. This is talking about seeking the treasures in heaven, the treasures of eternity, the treasures of a life of peace and joy, justice and righteousness, of complete lack of need, where everything is in abundance and everything is just, not like this world. Matthew 6, verse 20, store up treasures for yourself in heaven, where neither moth nor rust spoils, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. True wealth is lasting, it's eternal. It never comes at the expense of others. It never bribes, it never steals, it never harms. These are the evil practices that people must do in order to attain wealth in this world. We are not to be that way, because true treasure that lasts is from God alone. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, and Jesus, as he was looking upon him, loved him and said to him, there is one thing you are lacking. Go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me. In this physical life, wealth is a distraction. Wealth has been used to fund violence to a degree now that has never been. And the ultra wealthy are nothing but the servants of Satan, committing evil works and being rewarded by Satan. That is not the treasure that God wants to give us. He is not rewarding us for doing evil. He rewards us for doing good, for righteousness. And that reward is the greatest reward that you will ever know. It is being resurrected into his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, a kingdom of eternity, a kingdom of unspeakable joy. Until next time, this is Stephen Green for Church at Home.